It was Saturday. It was yesterday. And so I went in to wait on the Lord and see what he had for today before I would go to start digging. And I always know when I hit the well. You just know when you strike water, you strike oil. You have peace, and then I can get up and leave my secret place and go out and go into the living room or get a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. But I don't leave until I strike that oil and know it. Well, yesterday it was about 11:30, and it just came so easily. It was like a download. He just poured it into me. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. But I do want to honor our county sheriff, Brother Mike. Sometimes I hesitate to do that because I don't know, you know. But we're glad you're here, and Miss Angela, God bless you both. Don't you appreciate them for keeping us safe? Amen. I hear so many good comments, Brother Mike, about what you do and how you take care of us. Okay, so yesterday, the Lord began to just drop it into me, and I went ahead and just put it down in my phone and then transferred it over to my iPad. But he began to talk to me about the weights that weigh his people down. Now, we could go into how many weights. My little Parker went fishing with Brother Art. Art took him fishing with his little grandson. And so when I got over there, I stopped to see them. Parker came and showed me his fishing pole and showed me the hook. And then I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, that's a little weight. That's a weight." And he said, "It causes my bait to go down deeper into the water for the fish." And so that was a good weight. But God was talking to me about three weights that are tearing up his people and affecting the church. Now, you say, does it affect the world too? Well, everything that affects them, it affects us. But the only thing is we have help with it. So I want to talk to you about this. Kathy, did you get the pics I sent you this morning? Okay, first I want to show you this, because the three heavy weights I'm talking about will become yokes around your neck. I want you to see what a yoke is first. It's a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the neck of two animals and attached to a cart. It's a very heavy and uncomfortable weight that is carried upon the shoulders of oxen. Okay, so I think we have a pic of the oxen yoked up together. You know, it's got two yokes on it. So you're going to be yoked with something. And you can be yoked to either heaven or hell. You can be yoked to God or Satan. But they used to call them, still probably do, a team of oxen, a team. They work together. Well, they really have no choice. They have no choice. They're yoked up together. So where one goes, the other's going to go. They're just totally yoked. So that's what I want to talk to you today, what came to me. Was the three heavy weights or yokes. First one I'm going to talk about first is sin. How many of you know sin is a heavy yoke? I don't care what kind of sin it is. We call sin little deeds that we do. But whenever we sin, sin means to be contrary to God's word. Paul said that if you have enmity with the world, then you are not going to have the blessing of the Lord. So enmity, to lay aside the things that Paul told us to lay aside, when you walk in a yoke like this and you yoke up with something, it's going enmity. Enmity means to oppose. And that means you start opposing God. You're walking against what he would have you do for the betterment of yourself. Because when you walk and yoke up with him, everything seems to go right. They're not necessarily blinders. Horses have blinders. But it means they go in the same direction. The team of oxen go in the same direction. And if you yoke up with hell, or you yoke up with the devil or the enemy, or people who are not walking with God, if you yoke up with the world, you're going to go in the same direction that they're going in. I promise you. Look at it. You'll walk in that same direction. If you yoke with God, yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to walk in the same direction he's going. So let's look at, I'm not going to have you pull this up. I'm just going to just kind of do the Paulette translation with some of these today. But Jesus said, lay aside, in Hebrews 12:1. Just lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you. Because he knew that sin is a great weight. And he gave me two other things to talk about today that are very popular among his people, because Satan uses the same old tools that he's used for years and years and years. He has no new tactics. And you know what? We don't either. Ours is exactly the same. It's this. It is the Word of God. It is the weapons of our warfare. He told us what the weapons were. So we have prayer. We have the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So we're pretty well taken care of. It's the same. He said the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just always the same. So we should be wise to the tactics of hell, but sometimes we fall for it. Amen? So Jesus said, just lay that weight aside that does so easily, an old King James word, beset you. And that word beset in the dictionary simply means to plague you or to harass you. Now, whenever you start doing things you know that aren't right, guess what's going to happen? You may enjoy doing it. The Bible says it's going to be fun for a season, but after a while, it's just going to harass the daylights out of you. It'll harass you. It'll be there when you wake up. It'll be there when you go to sleep. And you're wondering, why I can't get past this? Why is this doing this to me? Because that thing is so easily besetting you, and it's become a weight to you, and it's dragging you down. And I want you to see what the New Living Bible says. New Living Bible says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially the sin that so easily, listen, trips us up, and let us run this race that is set before us. Sin is it's a really heavy weight. Art, you weren't in here when I talked about the weight that you put on the Parker's little fishing pole. We're on the little hook that carried it down deep. But whenever we start walking with the wrong partner, you might ought to just leave that yoke up. Leave those oxen up. I'd put those oxen. Just leave that. And when I bring you the word, we'll get the word up. We'll go right back to the oxen. But those things become weights, and they will pull at you, and they'll draw you back. And that, listen. This is why people say, I don't know, I'm just taking 3 steps forward and 4 steps back, or 2, and how that saying, because it's a weight. There's weights that get on us and weigh us down. Let me just remind you of this. Of course it's a stronghold. Of course it becomes a stronghold and it holds you in this personal prison and locks you up. And you don't feel like you'll ever get out. And if you do, how will you get out? And I'm going to show you how you can get out. It's not as hard as you think. And so I've talked to you before about barnacles. And when we were in Morro Bay one time, walking out on that little embarcadero. And so there were all those old fishing boats in there. And we looked down in the water. And this old fishing boat had these little shells on it, little round shells about the size of a quarter, maybe a nickel. And they were just all over the side of that little boat. So the captain of the boat was there, and I said, excuse me, can you tell me what those are on the side of the ship? or that little boat. What are those things? He said, oh, those are barnacles. He says, we've had to bring this boat back in because it had so many, it slowed the boat down. And the boat couldn't go anymore. So he says, when that happens, we bring it back in here, and it had already been lifted up on some kind of a wooden platform that held it up, and they scraped it. They scraped all of those barnacles off. And he said, every now and then we have to bring them in and scrape them before the boat can go back out, because it just puts along. It just can't hardly go unless it has, unless it gets those things off of it. And this is what happens with sin and the things I'm going to bring you this morning. They slow us down. And you don't feel like that you just start dragging because you're tired of fooling with it. You're just tired of it. So here in the New Living Bible, it said it trips us up. Everything that just weighs you down, it's a heavy weight. It entangles you back with the world. It just puts you back and tries to entangle you. But I want to go quickly this morning because I want you to hear. The second one he talked about was bitterness. Have you ever been bitter before? You ever felt that? It's a horrible thing to feel, isn't it? Bitterness is a hateful thing. I mean, it's ugly, it's nasty, it's powerful. But see, all of this really comes under sin. But he wanted me to talk to you about bitterness for a minute because of the weight it carries. Man, this, you're talking about barnacles. I mean, when you are bitter, these barnacles of bitterness will cover your heart, begin to cover your thought life, cover your mind. It just begins to cover your whole body if you're not careful. And I want to say this. I do have a book at home by a doctor, and he talks about sicknesses and disease. You've seen him on TBN or 700 Club. And he would always talk about sickness and disease and how some of these things come from resentment and pain and these things that we hold within us. But you know, as I have ministered over these 40 years and talked with many people one-on-one, you can see there's always a root cause. And I always say, can you remember where this started? Some of them will say, no. Others will say, oh yeah, I can tell you right there, it was when this happened to me. And it can stem from that abuse they had as a child, the confusion that they had at that time, or from anger. They were so angry when they were young. They didn't have a voice. Parents wouldn't even listen to them, didn't pay them any attention. And in fact, just yesterday I read about a movie star. I think it was Sean Cassidy that was on the, was that the Brady Bunch or Partridge Family? And he was saying he was a Hollywood kid, but his dad was a star and Shirley Jones was a star, and they just kind of let him raise himself. And he said, and then there were, of course, they lived in the neighborhood where there were other stars' children. And he said, we were all just kind of on our own. We just raised ourselves down there. He said, Mom and Dad didn't have time for us. He said, it all looks glamorous on TV. But believe me, he says, it wasn't glamorous. So he said, I just learned how to put it down in me and just stuff it. So I can imagine how that little guy needs this message. Probably a lot of bitterness stemming from that, maybe rejection, anger, resentment. Watch people who have been betrayed in their marriages or went through a divorce. They get betrayed. That can stay forever and just torment you for the rest of your life if you allow it to. And then it becomes bitterness. And then it'll fall down into your children. And you don't have time for that, church. You don't have time to let that thing eat you alive. And it will eat at your heart. It will eat at your mind. It eats at your thoughts. It won't allow you to have a positive thought. It'll create worry. It'll create strife. And God noticed that. He said, I want you to talk to them about bitterness because I don't want it in my people anymore. You know how bad things are today. Yes, there's a great revival going on, but I have said this for years, even from a young person, that in the last days, I'll tell you what's going to happen, only by the power and the sovereignty of God, there will be a great, this is by the word of God, there will be a great falling away and a great pouring out. How many of you know we're there right now? The great falling away and the great pouring out, all happening at once. So God says, for me to tell us that you cannot have this thing rising up in you. You can't afford the bitterness. You can't afford playing with sin. You cannot yoke up. You see those oxen? Look at them. They're bent down like this. Guess what? When you're yoked with bitterness, you're going to try to straighten up. But you cannot remember what that dad did to you. You can't remember what that whatever happened to you or that mama or that drunken father, whatever. You stay bent down if you just hold bitterness. It's a horrible thing. And I don't care what kind of betrayal. I don't care about the unhealed wounds. We're all wounded people. Are we all wounded? We've all got a wound somewhere. You all look back and say, man, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. But what are you going to do with it? You can't go back and put that toothpaste in the tube once it's out. There's not anything you can do. You say, how am I going to get free of this? Well, I'll show you. Amen. What am I going to do? Well, God has all the answers. But you can't let this bitterness eat at you, because then it starts destroying all your relationships. I don't like anybody. I hate everybody. I don't trust anybody. Well, you know why? Because you're looking at yourself. You're looking in. You feel so ashamed and so embarrassed for who you are. You don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed. I don't care what happened to you. It doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what the kids said to you at school growing up. It doesn't matter. That's over and gone. But it's easier to say forget it than it is to do it. Okay, but all I know is Jesus said, lay that thing aside. Because it's too weighty. It weighs you down. And he's saying, I don't want you yoked up with some ugly sin or some ugly bitterness. He just don't, he wants, God's plan was to have his sweet people just like his son. He wanted us walking in the same power, same anointing, same love, everything his son walked in. But church, we can't do it unless we totally yoke up with him. And you're still going to go through life. Things are still not easy. But at least you're yoked with him. And you don't have to be carried out into all those ugly memories. See, some memories can be really good and they'll hurt you too. Like when I had my whole family. That's a hurtful memory sometimes if I allow it to go on and on. People, I've heard them say, well, I went off and I saw all these families running together. And I thought, no, don't think. Don't think. Cut it off. You know how long you can think about it. Leave it alone or it'll become a stronghold. And then you'll yoke up with that thought. Okay, good or bad. You'll forget about it. Well, I remember my business. I remember. I quit it. You've got a new life coming. It's a new era. It's a new season. It's a new time. It's time for us to run the race, as Paul said. Just keep running the race. Those things that do so easily beset you and pull you back and slow you down like barnacles on a boat. So let it go so you can go ahead and run your race. Now look, I know. I talk to people all the time, and so do you, but probably me as a minister, I may talk to more, but because people come and sit down with me in a restaurant and just unload everything. A girl told me the other day some things that happened to her, and I said to her, honey, you, boy, if anyone has a right to be resentful and angry, you do. You really have a right. And she said, I know, and she starts crying, and I said, but you can't afford that. It will kill you. That's too big a price to pay. Oh, no. Do you have a right to feel that way? You know you do, honey. But can you afford it? Oh, no. Now, I didn't have this message right here. But if she continued in all that she had a right to feel bad about, she would yoke up with it. Man, I'm going to tell you what. Be careful with what you're yoked with. I pray that every one of us will pay attention when you start yoking and something really starts getting on your mind and in your thought life, starts tearing at you. You're always worried about something, always concerned. Oh, no, you can't yoke up with that either. Now, here's what Hebrews 12:15 said, and I'm thankful for this verse. He said, watch out that no poisoning, this is NLT. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to do what? Trouble you. Because what we're talking about right now is this bitterness. It'll grow up to do what? To trouble you. To aggravate you. Well, I wish I would have come from another family. No wishes. Your family made you who you are today. You've got strong character traits. You've got some giving in you. You've got a love in you. You've got stuff that nobody else has. You've got things that none of the rest of us have because of where you've been and who your parents were. Everything that was ugly wasn't meant to be ugly. God said, I can take that evil and I can turn it for good to you. Amen? Well, yes. Thank you, Jesus. So make sure that there's not a root of bitterness growing in you, because that bitterness will do what? What did it say? Trouble you. It will trouble you. Let me see what the New Living says. That was 12:15. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest, now if you don't partake of the grace of God and take it into you, it says a root of bitterness. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, causes trouble, and by this many become what? Defiled. It will infect your spirituality. It will infect your heart. The other one said, lest it trouble you. This says, a root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Okay, it's just too heavy. It's just going to lead to negative behaviors and attitudes. And we just can't afford it. And it affects our physical health. This one probably affects our physical health. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I may not have the authority to say this, but I'll say, I think bitterness could affect our health as much as anything else. Amen? I think so. So I'm going to give you the third one, and this is a biggie too. But bitterness leads to unforgiveness, because you're bitter about what that person did. You're bitter that shouldn't happen to you. This shouldn't happen. That didn't happen. I didn't like how they acted. Well, guess what? They didn't like the way you acted either. But you don't have a right to yoke up with that. Now, you can if you want to. Like I told the girl, you can. You've got a right to yoke up with it. But you can't pay the cost. You can't. So the third one I'd like to talk to you about is unforgiveness. I heard the Lord say it, unforgiveness. Now, we're Christians. So how in the world can that dwell in us? Because we were forgiven by the ultimate Savior, by the ultimate judge, by the ultimate lover of our souls. And he said, I forgave you while you were yet in sin. I forgave you. And you don't want to forgive him for what he said to you? If Jesus was walking with us today, he might say it like this. Are you serious? Really? You don't want to forgive her because of what she said to you? Have you ever said anything bad to anyone? Have you ever hurt anyone's feelings? Have you ever acted up? And I forgave you. I forgave you for all of it, from the time you were a little boy. From the time you were a little girl. I washed all of it away. If you'll stay close to me and yoke with me. But you seem to want a yoke with other things. And Jesus might say, for the life of me, if he was down here. For the life of me, I just cannot understand why my precious people would want to yoke up with sin or bitterness or unforgiveness. My goodness, how could you yoke up and walk under unforgiveness because you think you were treated poorly or bad or whatever you were? But he said, you remember what you did? Oh, we must live in unforgiveness. I mean, live in forgiveness. Because I'm going to tell you, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart for anyone, I mean anyone, I'll just tell you right now, it'll lead to a plethora of things. I mean, a whole bunch of things. Now, I don't know. This could have maybe came to me from what I heard the other day. On the Charlie Kirk memorial service, I watched some of it when I got home on that Sunday. And my goodness, there were thousands of people walking in. Some of them had waited there all morning. And they were walking in, peacefully walking in. And you could see people that were very well-dressed, people that weren't very well-dressed. You saw probably all social kinds of people. I mean, every social life, every walk of life, it was all right there walking. And there were movie stars and the White House team and the president and Christians and sinners, and everybody had gathered together and the gospel was preached. And you know what? Nobody could hold it back. It couldn't be stopped. I was talking to God about it last night and I said, Lord, that was just I'm using the word funny. It was just the funniest thing I've ever seen. The biggest thing I have ever seen. To think that one week, the people that were full of hatred and ugliness, well, some of them still are. But Lord, now they were preaching. I mean, they just weren't saying the man upstairs. They were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and shed his blood. I mean, they're just out there, and he rose from the dead and he's coming back. And they're just preaching that. And nothing could stop it. I mean, not one thing, not one man, not an army. Because when God says, I'm going to set you down and I'll raise up another, according to Psalm 73, I'll put one down, I'll raise up another. So he put one down, now he's raised up an army. So everyone was caught up. But you know what I'm about to say. The three-phrased sentence, or the three-worded sentence that stole everybody's heart was when that little Erica Kirk was talking at the microphone about the killer, the shooter, the assassinator. And she says, oh, that young man. Forgive him. I forgive him. And it just rippled throughout the world. I mean, through the world. Why did that happen? Because God's hand was upon it. Just three little words. Everybody was talking about it. And then some. Do you know who Tim Allen is, the guy that used to play on Home Improvement? He said, did you see his testimony? He said, I hated the man who killed my father. He said he was killed by a drunk driver. I hated him. He said, 60 years ago that happened, and I could never forgive that man. I could never forgive the driver of that car that killed my father until Erica said those words. And it was so powerful. In front of the whole world, she said it. And he said, when she said that, Something broke in me, and I forgave my dad's killer. From movie stars to the elite to doctors to the poor to anyone of any social class, they were affected by those three words. And I saw the power right there of forgiveness. So I'm going to tell you, sitting here this morning, it's a small group of people, but I wonder what the percentage would be, just right here with us, of people right here in this room, of these four walls, that has unforgiveness in your heart because somebody hurt you. Now, I'm going to tell you, can't afford that. It's a very heavy weight. And if you yoke up with that thing, you'll be looking down all the time. It will affect your family. It will affect you. I'm just telling you, it will affect relationships. It affects your heart. It affects you emotionally. It affects your mind, your spirit. But see, that's Satan's plan. That's what he wants. If he can get you yoked there, then that means you're pretty close to being yoked with him. Pretty close. Could be. If you get too far out there and sin with the other guy, you will be yoked. Because this, if you're walking with somebody else or something else, listen, that leads you away from God. That leads you away from God and right where Satan wants you to go. And so right here at this time of a new era, a new season, a new time in our lives, listen, this is brand new. Even losing your mom like this, Alicia, it could be a brand new season for you both. Every time something happens, just like we just saw, a young man who loved God with all of his heart had such an effect on the whole world. Why? Because it was the gospel and God had touched it. He was a martyr. Anytime blood is shed by a martyr, things always change. Just write it down, you'll see a change. My God, help us, Lord, help us. So Jesus said, now lay it aside. And you say, well, how am I going to do that, Pastor? Are you kidding? I've walked with this unforgiveness in me so long, I just don't have it in me. I can't do it. I can't do it. This bitterness, I know I'm bitter. But I've been up that altar 50 times, and it's still there. Still there. I don't know what to do. I know Jesus said lay it aside, and I try it, but it doesn't work for me. Well, what did the Bible say? You shall know the truth. If you know it, if you don't know it, it won't set you free. But he says, if you know the truth, then it will set you free. If you know the truth, it will set you free. Now, the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus himself. And then Jesus became flesh and dwelt among men. He walked all over. You men, your flesh. I mean, this was him. They saw him, his flesh. A man. The word that came out of God's mouth when he said, let there be light, and there was light. That word was in God. That word became flesh and dwelt among men. And then that man, Jesus himself, he went away. And then God spoke this word into the prophets, into his men and his women. So, that man, Jesus, who walked among men, he went away. And when he went away, then God inspired 66 books of the Bible over a 1,400-year span. This was the inspired word of God. Some of the other words didn't get into it. They're good books. They're history books. Some really good stuff. And then there's the Apocrypha that you need to stay away from. That's a lost book, and it never did get in, so just leave that one. But now what we have, that truth that came out of God's mouth, let there be light, and then the truth that walked with the disciples in the flesh like a man, just a regular man. And now, this is him. This is the truth. Is it amazing that we can hold this in our hands? You can hold it in your lap. Do you ever feel that when you pick up your Bible? Feel something. Every time I pick this one up, I love how it feels. This is him. So I'm going to give you something right now. Look at Isaiah 10:27. Please put that up. Isaiah 10:27, two scriptures and I'll be done. We're going to let the Assyrians represent the devil, okay? And all of these weights. The Assyrians had beat up God's people for years and years and years. But just like the other day, when God is through, he's through. Look what it says, Isaiah 10:27. That's an ASV. Can we get that in the New King James? It says ASV, but it's reading like a New King. No, it's a little different. All right, I'll read it to you. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day, somebody say this day, that the Assyrians' burden will be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Old King James says because of the anointing. New King James says because of the anointing oil. Okay, so let's reread it. And it shall come to pass in that day, I'll read it for you, that the weights that you have yoked up with, every yoke, every burden will be taken away from your shoulder. And the devil's yoke will be taken from around your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now let me tell you, hold it. He didn't say, I'm going to break this thing off. He said, I am going to literally destroy this yoke. Amen, church. He said, I'm going to destroy it. It's like an egg yolk. Pop the egg, you put it in the pan. That yolk's all pretty. It's got the white around it. But if you stick a knife or a fork in that yolk, what happens? It's destroyed. Do you think you could ever put that yolk back together? I don't think so. He said, I will destroy that. Look, it'll come to pass in that day, this day, that his burden, the devil's burden, will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of what? The anointing. Or the anointing oil. Now, 1 John 1:5 or something along that line, maybe 5:5 in 1 John, it talks about the oil is the unction of the Holy Spirit. They used to put oil on the sheep. The old shepherds, they'd put oil all over the sheep to keep the flies off the sheep. But God has given us an anointing oil by the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'll put that oil on you to keep the bitterness and the sin and the unforgiveness off of you if you just won't yoke up with it. He's given us a chance to unyoke today, church. It doesn't matter how long you've carried it. One more verse. New King James, please. I want you to see it. So familiar to us. Sometimes these things are so familiar in the Word. But see, what I just gave you was the truth. See? And it says, you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that will make you free. Some quote it and say, the truth shall make you free. No, 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 that's not what it said. It didn't say the truth will make you free. It says when you know the truth, it will make you free. How many just heard it? You got the truth, right? He'll lift it off your shoulders. He'll take it off your neck. He said, I will destroy you. So what part do you play? Nothing. You can't destroy it. You can't get it off your shoulder. You can't rip it off your neck. But he said, I'm the one. I can. Not only can I, but I will. It says, I will. Look, I will. All right. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He says, oh, look how sweet he is. Look how precious. Come to me. All you who labor, you're heavy laden. You're just plain old wore out. I wrote a note to Sarah the other day. I don't know if you remember, but I wrote a little text to her. I said, honey, I pray that today, she works at the cancer center, and oh my goodness, they have so many patients right now. And it's a laboring work, and it's a rewarding work. It's a good work. But I told her, Sarah, today, walk in rest. Work in rest. You just gotta work in the rest. You can walk and work. Excuse me, you can rest and work. You can rest and cook. You can rest and change that baby's diaper. You got two of them now, Adriana. You gotta learn how to rest, because you're not gonna get any sleep at night with two of those little ones. So you gotta learn how to rest as you do what you do during the day. How many heard that? How many heard that in your spirit? Learn rest. You're going through. Well, rest as you walk through it. Did that do any good, Sarah? Did you just ignore it? It helped. Good. That's a good answer. Good answer. He said, I get it from him. That's what I love about him. He knows what we need. He said, you come to me, all you who labor. You work hard, and you're heavy laden. If I ask you, Miss Angela, how many teachers you have under your care, it would be a few hundred, I think. So it's a lot. So I'm sure sometimes you get heavy laden, but he said, I'm telling you, my sister, I'm telling you, you walk and rest. You walk and work and rest. And he says, look at this. I will give it to you. You don't have it. Sometimes you just don't have it in you to get all the way through. A minister said to me the other day, he says, I just don't know if I have any more to give. I said, brother, I've been there, done that. Until I found out I didn't have anything to give anyway. Because Jesus just told us, I'm the one that will give you rest. You don't have to work it up, Sarah. You don't have to work it up, Angela. You don't have to work it up, Stacy. You don't have to work it up, brother Danny, when you're out there at Walmart in that hot warehouse. He said, I know how to do it. I will give you the rest. So look at this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And if you'll do that, you will find what? Rest for your souls, your soul, your emotions, your mind. But he said, but the only way you can do that is get over to me and then yoke up with me. Yoke with me. And when you're yoked with him, I mean, he's standing right beside you. The Holy Spirit is in us, and the Bible says he's with us, according to Acts, right? He's in us, and he's with us, Acts 4. In us and with us. So we stand upright because we are in right standing with God. Amen? So we are in right standing, so we're standing right up with him. And he said, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light, because you are not like this. I know. Some of you come by it honestly. I know you got a heavy load. But that's what he just said. So he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I hope that you wrote down, if you're not familiar with Matthew 11, 28, 29, and if you are familiar with it, read it again. Take it all. Take it all. Sometimes you just read too fast. You've got to just take line by line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. So I just heard him saying they can walk out of the church free today if they want to. Just walk out free if they want to, and just be lighthearted. Mother Evans used to say, get light for the flight. Just get light. Lighthearted. And I want to tell you this too, church. I love this that he said, just expect to see great things and mighty change in your life. And if you'll unyoke from these things today and let him have it, I'm going to tell you, you will feel the change in you. You will know it. And you know what? Others around you will know it. You'll feel it. You'll see it. And I don't care what other ones feel. I just want to feel right myself. I want to be okay inside of me. I want to be all right with me. Because Jesus said, I made you the way you are. I love your personality. I love your face. I love your, wherever you are. I just love you the way you are. He loves us, church. So let it be said that in the fall, thank you, Dee and Isaiah. Look at all of our fall colors and celebration. Isn't it beautiful? In this last Sunday of September, the fall of 2025, write it down. Make it a notable day where you say, I got set free at my church by Jesus. Not the pastor, not the prayer team, but I got set free by Jesus in the fall of 2025. So stand on your feet with me today. Church, it's just time to lay down the sin, the bitter root, the unforgiveness, and allow God to do what? This is the best part. To destroy the yokes of bondage. All of them are a yoke of bondage, and he said, let it be destroyed. How many is ready to lay it down today? Huh? David, you got a notice there? Okay. All right, just standing, come on. Wonderful Jesus, we received your blood and your body at your table before we even got here. And I pray that that's okay that we did that before. But Lord, today, you know what? Let's not be ashamed before the Lord, okay? It was a Wednesday night. The youth pastor had spoken, and, you know, in those days, the youth service on Friday night was just like an adult service, same thing. Everything was the same. So the young man said, somebody is here and you're full of fear. Full of fear and depression. Well, I didn't know what it was, but for 3 years I'd been in this kind of bondage, just yoked up with fear and depression. And now I know what it was. It was anxiety. Because there was times that I couldn't even go to school but 2 or 3 days a week. Because I would be sitting in my chair and just feel like I was going to pass out. And I never did. I would feel like the walls were caving. It was just a horrible feeling. This went on for 3 years. I could look at the TV. The TV was on and my sisters and family, they'd be laughing. But not me, because I couldn't even see what it was saying. I couldn't hear what they were saying. Somebody tell me a joke and I couldn't really even hear it. Because I'll tell you what, these kind of things that I just gave you, the bitterness, the sin, the unforgiveness, you can mention many other things, the resentment, you know what those do? They paralyze you. Amen? Does anyone know that? Sin will paralyze you. Sin will change your mind. Sin will make you a different person. Just watch your children. Just watch. Mothers have told me, my son, I don't know what's wrong with him. He just locks himself in his room. He's just different. I'm like, you better get in there and find out what's going on. Well, I can't. It's his privacy. He lives in my house. Get in there. He don't pay you rent. Go find out what's going on. get in there and find some junk. Why do we let our kids go that route? So he said, if you'd come up, and here I am sitting with all the teenagers of the church. Oh, I could get up there and sing a special. But pastor said, somebody's here like that. And I knew it was my yoke. And I hated nighttime. I hated laying down at night. And so I got up in front of my peers, my friends, and I got up and walked down to the front. And I remember he looked at me in surprise, like, what? Really? I said, listen, it's really bad. Been here for about 3 years. And he says, Paulette, do you know this verse? And he turned to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. 1 and 7. And it says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And when he said that, I mean, the love and the power was good. I said, no, pastor, I don't think I ever saw that verse. And he says, well, it says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love and power. And when the pastor said sound mind, it's like fireworks went off in my mind. A sound mind. Oh, my goodness. That's all I want. My sisters and all their craziness. I just want to be like them. Having fun and carrying on. But I couldn't have fun. I was too yoked up. Afraid a disease was going to come on me. That's how it started. But that night, my pastor said, in 2 weeks you'll be free. I said, oh my goodness. He said, no, 2 weeks, you'll be free. And you know what? In 2 weeks, I didn't know it was 2 weeks, but all of a sudden I realized somebody told me a joke and I laughed. And I knew I did. I knew I did. And then the teacher said something and I laughed. And I didn't have to leave the room that day. We were watching TV that evening and I laughed. And I ate food with the family. I could eat a whole meal. And I realized it's been 2 weeks. I'm free. The Word did that. The Word. Just one verse made me free in my mind. And what I've given you today is power-packed enough to set you free. And I'm going to tell you, it was embarrassing for me, I guess. I don't know that it was, but I guess for a little 17-year-old girl to get up and run down to the front, I didn't really care what they thought, because I knew I could, if I could be free, I wanted to get free. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're in any one of those categories and you've been kind of teasing with it and playing with it, I just come down here and make an altar. Come on, just come down. Come on. Oh, none of you are like that, just me. Generally, I'll have any bitterness, no unforgiveness, no unruly things going on in your life. Come on, you know the devil's always after you. He's always after us. Come on, give me 5 minutes up here in the altar. Come on, make yourself an altar. Let's give it to him. Come on, I don't want to. Let's yoke up with him. Man, I'm not yoking with anything but him. It's just too heavy. I can't carry it, Lord. I was a little girl trying to carry that fear, and it just wasn't worth it. Thank God you delivered me. I pray somebody will go out of here and say, thank God you delivered me. You saw me. Come on. Get your altar. Get your altar. I trust in God. Let's sing it again, Brother Chris. Together today for one of our sisters in the church. Tanya has opened up her new beauty shop and barber shop in the same room. And God has blessed her with this new shop. Shop on what, 3rd Street? 3rd in Cleveland? 3rd in Cleveland. It's called Emerson's Beauty Shop and Barber Shop. And so you might want to stop there. I want to ask her to come. We're going to anoint her today. And we're going to ask God to keep his hand upon your shop. Amen. Thank you. prosperity and blessing rest upon you. I plead the blood of Jesus over your shop, over the parking lot, over the campus of it, over the premises, the borders. I plead the blood of Jesus over it. Lord, may you give your angels charge over that shop and every woman or man who works there. May your glory rest upon Tanya. I pray that you will give her wisdom and knowledge in her finances, in the business realm. And Father, we bless her with that. Solomon asked for it and you gave it to him. So will you give it to this new businesswoman, Tanya? I bless her shop and we bless her this day. Tanya, may you go in the blessings of the Lord, protected and blessed with prosperity, healing, and blessing. May make you even a missionary in that realm. In the name of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. I love you too, and God bless you. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace in your home, your heart, your mind, your family, and in your finances. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you all. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.